Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. If you've watched any serial dramas on television, shows like Mad Men, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, or The Americans, you'll be familiar with a certain phrase that begins each program. Previously on Mad Men. And then comes the one-minute recap to catch you up on key elements of previous episodes to prepare you to watch and enjoy the program you're about to view. 3 weeks into our narrative lectionary, our effort to read more of the biblical stories together and in order so that we can understand, live, and share them with greater confidence, we might do much the same. Previously in Genesis, we heard about God's good creation, where God creates and blesses this whole world and everything in it. And previously in Genesis, we heard about the fall of Adam and Eve, the story that tries to explain why there is pain and suffering in the world and why so often things don't seem to go the way they should. These stories are important because they paint the history of the world and the story of humanity with the biggest brushstrokes possible. The creation of the vast cosmos and the fall of humanity. These are huge themes. Today's story, by contrast, zooms in to focus on just one person and gives us an intimate picture of what the life of faith looks like. That person is Abraham, a wealthy landowner and rancher who, when he was 75 years old, was paid a visit by God. During that visit, God told Abraham to leave his land and home behind and travel to a new country far away, and that God would give that land to Abraham and that his descendants would live there forever. And Abraham went, taking his wife Sarah and all their household. Now, it's been a pretty amazing journey for Abraham and Sarah up to this point, filled with some ups and downs, some narrow escapes, and some close calls. But eventually, Abraham and Sarah make it to their destination and begin to settle down. And once they're there, God comes to visit Abraham a second time in the passage Pastor Dixon read just a few moments ago and declares once more God's intention to bless Abraham. This time, though, the story plays out a little differently. Previously in Genesis, in the 11th chapter to be exact, which describes the first time God visited Abraham, God says, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing." And then the story continues with four words that are as remarkable as they are brief. "And so Abraham went." No doubt, no questions, no conditions on Abraham's part whatsoever. God promises, and Abraham simply trusts, obeys, and goes. This time, though, just a few chapters and a year later in the story, while God's part of this dialogue is pretty much the same, making another grand promise, "Do not be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield, and your reward will be great," Abraham's response is quite different. "Oh, Lord God," he says, "what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus." Previously in Genesis, you see, we learn that Abraham and Sarah had no children, and at 75 years old, were pretty sure they would never have children, which in the ancient world wasn't just a disappointment, but was considered a curse. No children to inherit your wealth, no children to continue your line, no children to remember you after you'd gone. The calculus in the ancient world was as cold as it was clear. No children, no family, no family, no future. Which might just be why Abraham was willing to follow God's kind of crazy directive in the first place. "Leave everything and everyone I know to go to a far-off land? But did you say I'll have family, descendants, and blessing? Let's go." But it hasn't happened yet. And Abraham's not ready to swallow the Lord's promises quite so quickly this time around. In fact, he pushes his point home. "You have given me no offspring," he complains, "and so one of my servants will be my heir. Not my child, not my descendant, but a servant." Sometimes faith comes pretty easy. You hear God's promises and you just believe. Maybe it's because life is going pretty well already, or maybe it's because the promise is just what you'd hoped for and feels like an absolute answer to prayer. But sometimes, other times, God's promises can be really hard to believe. Even if you want to, or have tried to, or have prayed to. Maybe, for instance, you've prayed for children and that prayer hasn't been answered, or prayed that your child would escape addiction or find a healthier relationship. Or maybe you prayed for a better job and a better future. Or maybe you just really hoped for good health, for a cure, only to have a reoccurrence instead. Sometimes faith comes easy, and sometimes it's really hard. Interestingly, God's response to Abraham's skepticism and doubt is no different than God's response to his belief. God doesn't get mad or frustrated or threaten to cast Abraham aside if he doesn't get a better attitude. Instead, God just repeats the promise, this time making it even more tangible. "This man will not be your heir," God reassures Abraham. "No one but your very own child will be your heir." And then in a moment of tender patience and care, God brings Abraham outside and says, actually whispers, I imagine, "Look towards heaven and count the stars in the sky. If you are even able to count them, so shall your descendants be." And then the narrator of Genesis continues, and Abraham believed the Lord. Now, just to be clear, Abraham and Sarah actually won't have that child for another 14 years until they are on the verge of turning 100, which means I am pretty sure that there were other times when Abraham found faith hard, when he found it easier to doubt rather than trust God's promises. But I wonder how many times when, just as he was about to give up on God, he'd walk outside again, look up, and try to count the stars in the heavens, and with this tangible reminder flung wide across the sky, find a measure of both comfort and courage, and discover that he could believe once again. God promises that Abraham's descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky, and history has proven that promise reliable, as Abraham and Sarah will have Isaac, the child of promise, and Isaac will have Jacob and Esau, and Jacob will have 12 children that grow and multiply into the 12 tribes of Israel, and one of those descendants, Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, descended through Joseph all the way back to Abraham. One of those descendants, Jesus, will declare God's grace and mercy to all the world and be the blessing God promised all those centuries ago. And you know what? That story isn't done yet. Because through our baptism into Jesus, you and I are now counted as children of the promise and as descendants of Abraham. You and I, that is, represent some of those stars in the sky that God talked about all those years ago. Sometimes faith in God's promises is easy. When that's true for you, come here to church to give thanks for sure, but also to let your faith shine bright as a star in heaven and encourage those around you. Sometimes, though, faith is really hard. And when that's true, feel free to walk outside your home at night look up and try and count the stars in the heavens and be reminded of God's faithfulness to Abraham. Or even better, when faith is hard, come here to church and see some of the stars of heaven now scattered throughout this congregation. God has given us to each other, you see, precisely so that we can remind each other that while it sometimes may feel like it takes a very long time, God always keeps God's promises. For in Jesus' cross, we see just how far God will go to prove God's love for us. And in Jesus' resurrection, we see that God's love and life are stronger than all things, even death itself. Previously in Genesis, God made some extraordinary promises to Abraham, called Abraham to be and do more than he could ever imagine, and gave Abraham reminders all around him to keep him in faith. And God is not done. God is still doing that, still making us promises, still calling us to be more than we'd imagined, still giving us reminders, and still keeping us in the faith, in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.